Hey, so who are you?
I'm Jeremy Masner. I'm a program manager on the Live Mesh team.
Cool. And where are we?
We are in the concept development space over in Red West, which is where a chunk of our team sits, the Live Platform Services team. So I thought we might show people around. We're unveiling the platform and the platform experience behind Live Mesh. Thought we'd give a chance to meet some of the people behind the team. Some of them are going to be blogging, some of them are going to be at Web 2.0, but a lot of them obviously can't be there, so it'd be great to give them a chance to say hi to the world and show
meet the people,
yeah.
The faces behind Live Mesh.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take the tour.
All right, so I wanted to...
I'm following you.
Okay, let's come into my office and meet my office mate, actually, first.
Okay.
Because he's an important guy. So, this...
Sorry, getting a shot of your name.
All right, so this is Amit Mittal, who's our general manager.
Hey, how are you?
How's it going?
Amit.
Amit, so you're the general manager of Live Mesh?
That's correct.
So in your words, what is Live Mesh?
Well, Live Mesh is a software plus service platform and platform experiences that allow your devices to enliven by making them aware of each other via the internet. But that sounds great, but what does that mean?
Yes.
What that actually means is that, you know, today we have lots and lots of devices. We have laptops at home, at work, smartphones, media centers. But, you know, today they're all islands. They're all our islands of data, of configuration. And when you add a new device, it doesn't really, at least initially, add to your life. It kind of is more difficult than easy. And what Live Mesh tries to do is connect all your devices together so that they work together for your benefit. So that your data, for example, is accessible on any device, anywhere, no matter where you are. Your configurations are easily replicable. You can remotely access and monitor and manage your devices, again, no matter where you are.
Okay, so give me a real-world example, because you guys have been running Live Mesh, you know, since your first alpha or even pre-alpha. Like, give me a real-world example where Live Mesh has helped you in sort of your own personal or business life.
Oh, yeah, I've got tons of examples.
Okay.
So, you know, for example, I have machines, I have computers at home.
Yes.
And very often I'll come to work and I'll say, man, I have that one file, you know, either it's one photograph that I want to show somebody or, you know, that one document that I've been working on, but it's sitting on my home machine.
Right.
Right? And, you know, sure, I'm lucky I live pretty close to work, but, you know, what if I could just access my machine from here, mm-hmm. right? And usually doing that, you know, in a world where you have multiple networks, you've got firewalls, you've got NATs, you've got all that,
right.
it's kind of a nuisance.
Right.
Live Mesh makes it trivial. Within my mesh, I have my home machine, I click on the icon, and boom, I'm within that machine. And I can email it to myself, I can just, you know, make it more accessible. That's one way of doing it.
Sure.
Another is, you know, within Live Mesh, you can create live folders, which basically you can designate as living on one or all your machines, or some of them. And anything within the folder is automatically synchronized to all your devices.
Awesome.
That's incredibly powerful.
All right, so we talked about some of the probably like end user experiences of Live Mesh.
Correct.
Now the other part is, and we are our bread and butter is developers.
That's right.
So are developers going to be able to play with Live Mesh? What's the developer story, if you will?
You know, we are really within our team, we're really passionate about what we've built, but fundamentally, our team is a platform team.
Okay,
you know, that's our bread and butter. That's kind of what's in our veins, and. You know, when we looked at the scenarios, we looked at the device scenario, we looked at the networking scenarios, we looked at the configuration scenarios, we said, man, this is so difficult for people to deal with today.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be great if there's a platform that just took care of the identity issues, the networking issues, the replication issues, the platform and the client and the cloud, just made it seamless.
Right.
Right? So fundamentally, it's a platform. Right? And what we built, what we are unveiling shortly, is... It's just one slice of platform experience, which just shows what the possibility of what the platform can do is. And so from a developer perspective, we'll give a developer a comprehensive set of APIs where they can access all this functionality and build really, really compelling apps that take advantage of all these devices in their mesh.
Awesome. So developers can kind of go to town on the mesh and program and even think of new different ways to use that same mesh, you know, cloud infrastructure, if you will.
Absolutely. You know, and in fact, we've had an internal dog food running.
Mm-hmm.
And today we have about 1,700 people on the dog food.
Yeah.
And the feedback has been really exciting. You know, well, a lot of people are excited about the platform experience.
Mm-hmm.
But what's much more important to us is the feedback and the excitement around the platform itself. Mm-hmm. Because people are saying, wow, you know what? It'd be great to write an app which does this, which connects to SharePoint.
Right.
Which connects my documents together, which does this kind of integration. It's just amazing.
It's once you have sort of that fundamental platform service, like everybody can just see how obvious it is to take advantage of it.
And today, if you want to create an application in this space, you spend so much time, so much energy, so much money, right, building all the platform goo, right, which mm-hmm. is just tough, it's cryptic, it's, there's a lot of complications. And what we want to do is just make it easy for you, so that when you come up with a great idea for a new application, you just worry about the application. You don't worry about the platform.
Sure. All right, so since you're the GM of the team, how many people are on your team, and how do you sort of think about your team focus between dev, test, and maybe just random creative types that are just doing research on long-term stuff? Because I know you guys do a lot of interesting, just random ideas. So.
Yeah. Well, so our team is about 100 people.
Okay.
And we've been really, really fortunate to collect some of the best engineers from around the company. I've been personally very, very lucky that people have wanted to work on this project who are very, very talented. And the other thing we've been very lucky about is that we have some exceptional leaders on the team, across test, across dev, across PM.
Mm-hmm.
And ops, of course, thanks. Yes, yeah. We have a really kick-ass operations team that has, really helped us move fast, move in a very agile way, and that's been fantastic. It's interesting. Everybody is very, very, very motivated, very invested in what we're building. They're very excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
People have been working really hard. And I am really excited about this launch, because hopefully this gives my team a breather,
sure.
Before we push on to the next milestone.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure everybody's really excited, and hopefully all the work's done for the release soon at Web Expo, right?
We're kind of good to go now. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. So we're gonna go off and do the tour and meet some of the other folks. But
great.
Thanks, Amit.
Thank you. Good meeting you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Jeremy, take us around.
You can tell he's been working on his keynote for Web 2.0. That was good. That was real smooth.
Okay.
All right, let's see actually the op guys. Oh, here they are. Look at this. It's like half of our ops team. Can you guys take a minute to introduce yourselves quickly?
I just said good things about you guys, so.
Yeah, so they're...
So we're doing a Channel 9 meet the team, so you want to quickly just introduce yourselves and then talk about what the heck you're running for us.
Sure. I'm Todd Weeks, the operations architect for... Live Mesh, and these are a couple of the engineers.
I'm Chris Santamont. And Jeff Tave.
Cool.
And we're mostly involved in making sure the code gets out to the data centers, all of our infrastructure runs out there, and that we work with the development teams to make sure that the services are built to be run.
So, how big a scale are we talking? When somebody comes into the room and you got to architect out, hey, we're going to need a couple servers to draw this out, and they ask you to do the Visio diagram, and there's only so many computers you can draw. Like, how big are these data centers, or like how big do you have to scope the problem to really enable those scenarios?
Yeah, so looking at
and how scary is it as an ops guy?
It's very scary. internet scale needs to be that you get to a point where you just can't add servers. The services need to scale. So,
okay.
We're at the infinite size of the internet, and we need to start thinking of building things to that size. So.
Cool. Interesting. Awesome. All right. So
looks like they're in the middle of a
important
project.
And we're doing that right now.
Pushing deployment.
Pushing to production. All right. Well, best
good
of luck,
guys.
And
thanks.
Hopefully you won't get the call at 3 a.m. that things aren't working. So.
Yes, exactly.
All right,
thanks.
Let's swing over this way. We're
sure.
going to go through more of the crazy
stuff. So this is the classic thing where everything is a whiteboard, which, I asked the wife to put this in at home, and she said no. This is the way to live, man. Ooh, can we take a shot of this?
I don't know. Well, sure. Quickly. All right,
sure.
This is clearly some aspirational work by one of our designers. When we think about the device mesh and the kinds of devices we can support, when we launch at Web 2.0, we'll support
Windows Vista PCs, but you can see here that clearly the team has some pretty broad visions.
Well, I love the dog. Love the dog is coming soon, and hair dryer, max power, is in the plans.
I don't know who to do this. This is great.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
All right, so let's keep rolling. I want to see what we can find our test manager. Yeah, it's neat. If you look, actually, a bunch of the new buildings, like the new Windows OS.
Look at this conference room. Look at this. Oh.
A lot of them look like this, though.
Love it.
Yeah, let's say a quick hi to Barton. You up for a quick video?
I'm not sure, why not?
So the guy is way too busy to talk with us. But
I'm Barton, test manager at WLC, and we're looking
Live Mesh. Live Mesh, baby.
Live Mesh, no sorry. More code Live name. Mesh. And we're really looking forward to our release next week. We're kind of hectic right now, getting everything, last-minute things put together, but getting all the web pages updated and everything ready to roll, and looking forward to it.
Cool. So we'll let you go as you're testing, but good luck in Bug Bash, and hopefully everything works out just fine.
Thanks. It's looking great right now.
Cool. Great.
All right. Let's we'll pop in on Dave, who's one of our dev managers, quickly, if he's up for it. You'll notice Dave is actually looking at our ops page right now, trying to see what's up. But that's you want right. to say...
You're not in tears, so everything must be fine.
I'm never in tears.
So, Dave, if you have a sec. So, what do you do as a dev manager? What's your real job?
Well, the capacity I played in WLC was actually a dev lead for security and directory, and basically architecting and writing a lot of software and helping my guys build good software, which they did.
Okay, and a lot of it is, I guess, more on the infrastructure part, or
oh, yeah.
is it?
Yeah, we're hardcore service developers. Large scale,
internet scale, service
internet
development.
Scale, yeah.
Cool. We have a client platform team too. We'll try and meet that.
That's right.
Dave,
that's right.
Dave is on the services side.
That's right. I'm on the services side.
Cool. All right. Cool.
We can't wait. We can't wait for Tuesday. Can you see my enthusiasm?
I can. Does it look good? Are we rolling out?
I think it does look good.
Can I take a shot of your screen?
Well, I mean, this is a view of all our different environments.
Okay. So I only see a couple reds, so I can't.
Red
be that
is expected.
Bad. Okay.
Yeah, so this is how we keep track of, because we have multiple tests. We have a production environment, we have a test environment, we have a pre-production environment, and we try and keep track of, you know, how many, and across the clusters of machines, how many machines are running, how many machines are up with the right version, how do you update the services across that. So that's what that little control panel is there on his screen.
So you guys write code. What's the language of choice?
C#.
C#, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool stuff.
So you've been writing C# for about 6 years now.
Nice.
And I say hello to Red Sox Nation.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll put a Yankees thing over it. Nobody.
No,
will...
we won't.
No, I'm just kidding. Awesome.
Despite their 15-9 routing last night.
Thanks, man.
Yep. Thank
All
you.
All right. Let's go wander around a little bit. Let's see if we can find some of the client guys, because we are an interesting mix of software and services. I think Amrit used that buzzword.
Yes.
So we have these services up in the cloud that provide sort of the internet hub to connect everything together. But then we need a client that really makes it come alive, makes it rich, makes it interactive.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Dave's guys who build all that whole services infrastructure. Then we have a client that knows how to talk to that services infrastructure and then itself actually provides a client platform. So that if you're writing a client app, you can always program locally and speak locally to that guy. So this is a lesson... my favorite example is Outlook and how Outlook has matured over the years. And if you went back 5 or 6 years, Outlook was very sort of, let's say, services focused.
Yes.
A lot of times you'd sort of be waiting for it to talk to the service and see what was happening. You'd be, what's happening
What's
there?
That on a background thread? Hey.
Yeah, and so, well, and then we sort of changed this model with Outlook today, which is fantastic, where you say, hey, actually, we'll use this cache mode. The data is always local. Outlook always talks locally, and it's quick, and responsive. And there's a background process whose job is to keep that local thing up to date with what's happening in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the model we're going for by having a rich client with a platform.
So developers would program to those client APIs and to the services, or is it one or the other? Or
it'll,
I guess
it'll really depend on your scenario. So if what you want to do is write a massive scale service, we don't recommend... You can cross through, Barton.
Sorry.
We don't recommend that you gate your massive scale service on a client API or platform. It makes sense to talk directly to our cloud, and we'll have lots to say about that over our next releases about how that platform works. But if you're writing a client app, We would actually recommend you don't talk directly to the service because you want that app to always be responsive. You don't want it to hang. And you want it to work online or offline. And so in that sense, we'd say, hey, take your client app, talk directly to our client platform that's there, and we'll handle all the hard work in the background of doing the synchronization and keeping that data up to date.
Cool.
So that's the model. Why don't we actually pop in here quickly if Alex is up for it.
Yeah.
Alex is our developer on the live desktop. So in this world of software and services, he's on the services side. He's a Ajax HTML guy. Is that how you describe yourself?
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell us about Live Desktop. What's it been like building it?
It's been pretty cool. So we're building a way that you can access your files and devices and manage everything anywhere. So we tried to build something that has a low barrier to entry, so no additional downloads are required. It should work cross-browser, cross-platform. Right now...
And when you say cross-platform, you mean...
Well,
are we talking Macs, Windows,
so, yeah.
or...?
Sure, okay. So we've thoroughly tested Safari on a Mac, and obviously the Windows scenario. So the idea is that you can go to anyone's computer and access your stuff from there. You can invite other users from there. You can view your files. So.
Cool. It's the anywhere access.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested. One of the things that I found interesting is the way you've had to build in debuggability into that app. Because here you have this app where people are running it with no software at all, and they're filing these bugs against you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the way you help track down the issues you've seen?
So we've introduced some of the kind of interesting paradigm, which is like a debug console within the web desktop. So actually when an error occurs, we've already logged it, and you can copy-paste the conditions that occurred there.
So you're basically tracking every one of the Ajax calls you make
mm-hmm.
back to the service.
Mm-hmm.
You're logging
exactly.
that in that interface.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat to see, because then rather than having to start up your own network traces or something like that, or go look back at the service,
everything's there.
Right there.
So, yeah, I can only imagine how difficult it must be to...
Not that there are any bugs. I should be clear on that. We actually haven't had any. But
yeah, you only had one, and it was, a spelling error.
Yeah.
Type of.
Yeah, so Dave Reed was just telling us how much the whole team loves the Red Sox, by the way. Which
yeah.
is good. I can see
which is,
you're clearly in his camp.
Right, we have a slightly divided camp here. We have a couple Yankees fans, significantly more Red Sox fans.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Keep rolling. So that's actually one form of client, but that's not the rich client. That's our reach client. Let's see. Oh, these are exactly the guys we need. Gentlemen,
hey,
we've been talking with Channel 9 about software and services and platform in the sky. We had a good chat with some of the services and ops guys, and I figured we better make sure we talk about the client, too. So, you want to introduce yourselves? And
sure. I'm Raymond Endres, so I'm one of the development leads on the Live Mesh team.
Okay, I'm going to go here just so I can get some nice light, and I'm going to blunt our way into here. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Reintroduce yourself, because I think now we have light.
Now you can see me. I'm Raymond Endres. I'm one of the development leads on the Live Mesh team.
Okay.
And I've been working primarily on the user experiences and some of the runtimes for the first release.
Okay, and this is the client app, the rich client, correct?
And also the web experience. So the
desktop
that you'll see.
Okay.
And future Mac experiences.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm a bit barispous. I try to just stay out of the way with these guys. I basically run the engineering team for kind of our client platform and the experiences team.
Okay, so he tells you what to do and you don't listen, right?
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. And you have a great...
These guys
team,
tell
by
me
by
what
way.
To do.
So what is the rich client? Just for people that, are half paying attention.
So the rich client's two pieces. It's the platform that you build your apps on. This is the way that you can synchronize your data, both blobs and rich metadata,
mm-hmm.
across that. That's the part that appeals to developers. I can now write the equivalent of mashups for all my rich client apps for the web, have these things roam everywhere. And the first app that we built is the experience on top of that, which enables me to sync my files. It enables me to get news about other people and the changes to the folders that I share with them throughout the mesh. And it enables me to remotely connect to the other devices in my mesh. So it kind of gives you a good cohesive feel for everything that's happening across your mesh of devices.
And the client software, that is written in C#? Is it WPF? Is it a C++ client?
It's the team pretty much touches all types of technology.
Okay.
So the rich clients are written in native code. They're written in some Silverlight technologies. They are written, there's a framework we use internally for presentation. It's not WPF, it's a subset. And going forward, we'll have, those are probably the biggies for the rich client right now.
And of course, there's the Mac client.
Yeah, of course, we can go into that one later.
Yeah, then I guess that's Cocoa, or...
Yeah, well, there's definitely Mac client, which of course integrates with kind of the Mac-specific technologies like Cocoa and stuff. There's also mobile clients that will be coming near future. But I think probably the most critical thing to think about is you ask the question as client software, and the whole point about Mesh is not to have to think about what's client software and what's cloud software. It actually merges the two things.
Mm.
And so, in fact, even Teams, if you look at it, Raymond's team actually owns the runtimes, as we call it, or Mo, as we talk about kind of mesh operating environment. It's the common runtime that we have a version of that runtime that runs on the Windows client, it runs on Mac, it runs on mobile, as well as the same thing runs in the sky in our data centers in the cloud. And so it's not so much the client runtime in the traditional sense. It's not
right.
a client server software model.
Right. So it really is like, if I'm programming Mesh, I'm programming to the Mesh operating environment, if you will.
Exactly. And in fact, you're right to that. And as a developer, one of the big value adds here is now you don't have to think about how do I program if I want to write a pure web app, or how do I program if I'm writing a very rich experience against one of the devices. You get a programming model that's very consistent, very symmetric, and will make sure it just runs appropriately in all these environments.
Cool. Very cool. All right, so we had barged in on your meeting, so our apologies there. But
okay.
Definitely,
it's an exciting time as you're launching, so this is good. I'm assuming you're going to do the walk the hallways and that stuff.
We're halfway through already.
You are.
We're going to try and pop in on Shipwright, too.
I'm assuming you're making the more colorful characters.
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah, we had to cut out the curse words and all that.
Thanks,
guys.
All right. Thanks. Hey, so half the team is upstairs on the third floor. So do you want to take a pause and run up there?
Or sure.
You want to talk? It's probably better to pause. We'll run
sure.
up the stairs and pick it back up.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay. So we're back on the third floor, and we're going to talk to Arash, but he looks like he's got an issue with account login here. So we've got Tom, our accounts and services developer. Say hi, Tom.
This is debugging in real time, right?
That's right. That's
one
right.
of our operations
hey
guys. So the issue is sign-in's not working. Is that what we're looking at?
It's a remote access authentication issue.
We're basically trying to get ready for the launch. So we want to essentially make sure that all of the things are working, or everything is in order. So essentially today, we are figuring those out.
Well, we can wait before going to the next one.
Yeah, let's just walk over.
Let those guys work. Anyone? Right now, someone is crashing here. Well, we can talk in the hallway. So, just a quick chance to introduce yourself and talk about what you work on.
Sure. I'm Arash Kanai-Sachani. I'm a senior program manager with Live Mesh.
Okay.
And I think the great thing about Microsoft is that you can work on whatever you feel passionate about. And I feel very passionate about developer platform.
Yeah.
So I'm working on Live Mesh developer platform.
Nice. How long have you been working at Microsoft?
I've been with Microsoft for about 7 years. I've been with the Visual Studio team, .NET Framework, Dynamic CRM, and been kind of in, you know, different teams across different product groups at Microsoft.
Yeah. A lot of developer stuff, obviously.
Exactly, yeah. That is where I personally feel very passionate about. So I love to make developers successful so they can actually build exciting and new applications, bring new experiences to users. So whenever I see any opportunity across the company, which are plenty, I essentially tend to gravitate to those kind of scenarios.
Sure. So what do you do for Live Mesh specifically? What can you say is, hey, that little feature there, that's there because of me,
or because
it didn't work on my laptop. That's why it's working on yours.
Sure. So I think let me just give you like a more high level view of areas that I'm working in. Essentially, I'm working in making sure that all of the different application types and scenarios that we want to support on Live Mesh, we have the right set of features in the product to support those. So if you want to build a web application, if you want to build a mesh application, or we want to just extend your existing desktop application to be mesh aware, essentially I'll make sure that we have the right set of APIs, we have the right set of scenarios, everything that is essentially needed to make developers
successful. Just think about the whole developer life cycle. From the point that you actually build the application, then you debug the application, then you deploy the application, and then you maintain the application. The entire life cycle essentially is one of my focuses, to look at whole life cycle. And you know, most of the APIs that you see, I've been involved in with the rest of the team, designing those APIs, libraries, and also a bunch of services that we build for developers, like application catalog, application deployment, application update, and all of those.
What's application catalog, just to go into?
So I think you can think about like the whole kind of notion of live mesh is that kind of put the user at the center of their data. Mm-hmm. And applications. So as a user, you want to be able to manage the applications that you have installed. You want to be able to share those applications with other users of mm-hmm. Live Mesh. So for all of those things, essentially, you have to have a repository of all of the applications that are available in Live Mesh. Mm-hmm. And kind of that is what we call an application catalog. And, you know, developers build their applications and simply upload them into the Live Mesh catalog. And after that, we essentially take care of most of the hard work that developers have to do today in order to do the deployment and management of the applications right inside Live Mesh for them. So application catalog is a big part of essentially those experiences.
Okay, and so when you were talking about before on like the scenario, I was like, how do you make sure that all applications can work in a catalog, if you will?
So I think we definitely believe in diversity of application types that we support. So there are essentially a couple of things that we really cling on. To make sure that is the case. I think one of the things are standard protocols. So different applications, essentially, if you are really complying with the standard protocols, you're increasing your chances of different applications being able to communicate with your data and mm-hmm. your interfaces. And that's one of the things that we kind of ensure is the case. The other things I would say is that different application types have different requirements. For example, the way you authenticate or sign in to Live Mesh, if you're writing a rich application on Windows or Mac, it's kind of different than the way you kind of sign in and authenticate when you're on web. So just want to look at different types of applications and see what are the different requirements for those applications to finish the entire development lifecycle.
Cool. Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks.
Popping right here on Benson since he was poking his head out. Benson's on our test team. Want to say hi to the world?
I'm the tester of the storage services.
Okay, so you make sure that the 5K file to the 5 gigabyte file can actually be stored on the mesh,
yeah,
right?
And can be persisted on the server. Yes.
Sounds like a difficult problem.
Yeah, but it's not that bad after all, because it was working very fine afterward. So, yeah, it will persist all your data on the cloud while they allow synchronizations and all those happens. Allow application that wrote of our platform to be access, create, modify their data that is persisting on the cloud. I'm responsible for quality assurance of it, including stress testing and all those stuff, functional testing and all those stuff.
So how much data is in the cloud right now? Because I know there's a dog food right now with thousands of people, and you probably are looking at the amount of data right now in the mesh, like in terms of stress, like how much you guys simulate?
Oh, in total, I'm not very sure right now.
Yeah, because we have so many, we have a bunch of us that miss at these different environments, so I actually don't know the total.
Okay. Either.
But what have you stressed it up to? What's the largest amount of stress you put on the system so far?
Currently, it's up to more than 72 hours with more than a few thousands of users that are running on it.
That's so just consecutively, thousands of users hitting it, lots of requests.
Yes. Yeah,
and what happens after 72 hours?
We're looking great. It's very healthy. Everything can be keep running. I believe can be keep running longer.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks.
Keep testing. All right. Well, let's see if we can grab a couple more people, and then I think Shipro should be starting soon.
Cool.
So let's see.
And
none of these guys. We already got Ori.
I just had to shoot his.
Yeah. We're going to see Ori later. Let's swing over to this side. You don't get a second appearance, man.
You got all day on Charles, right?
Hey, what are you guys doing? Are you guys walking around?
Yeah, doing the tour.
Awesome. Very good. There's stuff on.
We got a rush. You're going to have your own thing. Ori's going to have his own video that'll come out probably a couple days after this one releases.
Yeah. I think we'll... I don't know how exactly we're going to release him, but yeah, we got... Charles got lots of demos from...
Yes. Yeah, we got a good video. Let me see... All right, so we walk back downstairs.
we're back in the concept development space, and over here we're doing Shiproom. So Shiproom is where the team gets together once or twice or sometimes even three times a day. All the functional leads come in. We talk about every open issue and the things we have to resolve down right now. So what you'll see in there today is, as I said, all the functional leads and anyone who has a bug in their area has to show up also and talk about how that bug's coming along. Whether we're going to get it fixed for Web 2.0 or not.
Right, right. So, it's the RTM meetings, you know.
Yeah,
you
this gotta... is, I mean, this is serious Shiproom. So let's poke our heads. So that's the bug list up there.
Do not install.
This is the quietest Shiproom I've ever seen.
Great.
You guys want to say a quick hi to Channel 9?
Greetings.
Ben, you can feel the enthusiasm after the week of, after a week of all-nighters, everyone getting ready. But this is the team right here that's going to look at the last set of bugs up there and decide when we're ready to ship for Web 2.0. So.
And where do you guys keep the whip for people that are still open bugs? Is that? Oh, it's back.
Tony.
Nice. Okay, so you're the enforcement officer. That's
the enforcement officer.
Excellent. Excellent.
Look me, Tony.
Right, cool. Thanks, guys.
So, I mean, that's a pretty...
Hey, you gotta just get a couple of people to be doing pull-ups.
Oh, yeah? Where's the pull-up right now?
It's in read-off.
Oh, yeah? They're working out?
Yeah, that's part of the work, huh?
Najee's our test architect, and obviously thinks hard about keeping the team...
That's right. We got to stay in shape here and here.
Nice.
So I think that's it. I can show you our little test server room if you want to see. It's not the most interesting. We can go look at it.
Up to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Not? Sure. All right.
Back on.
Yeah, this is testing.
So this is our teeny. So I said we had a bunch of environments. I don't
right.
think you'll be able to hear me at all. But
yeah.
So this is one of our environments. This is the really small scale one that we keep in-house where we do our daily testing before we ever push it out into the data center. So this is a very small snapshot of what it would take to run live mesh out in the real world.
Cool.
But this is where we run all of our stress testing and really making sure that everything is working great before we push it out to the data center where we can't just walk in and debug the machine. Because the goal, obviously, is lights-out operation. You never want to have to look at any of these machines, never want to have to touch them. But we make sure it works here first, just in case.
Cool. Awesome.
So, all right. Is that going to wrap it? Is that it for our channel?
Do you want to... You got anything else so we can go out of the noisy room?
I guess... You know, it's a...
Any last closing words? How do people either sign up, and I know some of the developer stuff is still up and coming. How do they get feedback?
Yeah, so what we're doing at Web 2.0 is we're doing our first technology preview. It's going to be a limited release preview. We want to be really careful about making sure that we can scale the load as we expect to. So we'll start with a small number of people, and we'll be taking more people every week, till we get up to a nice big scale. We'll provide a link for Channel 9ers to sign up on the wait list, and that way we'll know who the Channel 9 devotees are, and we can make sure we pull them off the wait list early. And we'll post that along with this video, I suppose. And then, you know, we've got the experience will be available. The platform, a lot of things that Arash was talking about, for example, will be coming out later this year over time. We'll be doing a series of sort of smaller briefings with developers on campus here, and then we'll have sort of increasing venues where we get developer feedback. But we really want to make sure we get it right. So we're taking our extra time with that and being real careful. But by PDC in October, we'll have the developer platform out for people to interact with. So
I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about there.
It's going to be a fun PDC, absolutely.
Excellent. All right, thanks, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks for your time.